Connecticut has had its third confirmed case of the measles so far this year. Came in just this week. I realize that doesn't sound like a lot, right? That doesn't sound like news. Three people have the measles in the state. All right. But you got to look at it in the right context, okay? Three cases in the state so far surpasses the previous 5 years combined. The CDC says that we've had almost 3,000 cases nationwide, 2,777, there you go, which already surpasses 2025's total number. Also makes it the highest number nationwide since 1991, 35 years ago. Final statistic, and then I'll move on. The CDC also says that 94% of those cases are in unvaccinated people. These are just numbers. I haven't even given you an opinion yet. But joining me today is infectious disease specialist Dr. Joanne Passalacqua from Hartford Healthcare. Thank you for joining me again, Dr. Passalacqua. It's always great to have you.
Good morning. Good to hear your voice, John.
Absolutely. You as well. Thank you. All right. Let's just talk, first of all, since now three people have it, let's just talk about first how dangerous measles actually is. What will it do? How do you treat it? What are your chances of recovery?
Right. So, you know, I think the biggest concern about measles is that this is a very, very infectious virus. You don't need to be close in contact with a sick person to acquire measles. You simply need to breathe what we call shared air. And what this means is that the virus can linger in the air for up to 2 hours after the infected person leaves the area.
For 2 hours?
2 hours.
Okay.
And the other concern is that people will begin to spread the virus before they look sick. So people are contagious 4 days before they show signs of the rash, and they remain contagious for at least 4 days after the rash appears. So, you know, concern here is that like other viruses, this can be acquired by contact off of surfaces that have received infected droplets, but it can also be lingering in the air for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. And the person who's carrying it may look normal. They may not appear sick at the time that they're transmitting the virus.
So this sounds familiar to me. This sounds like 6 years ago. That's what I'm hearing right now. Mm. This feels like a conversation I've had several times before.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we're looking at COVID here, particularly not for the state of Connecticut.
Sure.
Because we are fortunate to have very high vaccination rates in the state of Connecticut, and vaccine really is effective. So, you know, the important thing to understand is that vaccine is the most important thing that people can do here, and people want to have two doses of MMR vaccine, which will be 97% effective in preventing the occurrence of measles.
Okay.
One thing to watch out for here is that there seems to be a connection to international travel. You know, the cases that have occurred so far this year, they've all been in Hartford County. We did have one little boy in December of 2025. He was unvaccinated from Trumbull, Connecticut.
Mm.
He had gone on international travel shortly before his symptoms began. The August 24th patient, we don't know the vaccine status on that one, but that individual had also traveled internationally and then ended up admitted to hospital with symptoms. The first case, June 15th of this year in Hartford County, was also associated with international travel. So, you know, what I would say to people, there's, you know, several things about international travel. One, people are brought together in close quarters, both in airport waiting areas and
right.
inside a plane. And if you think about something that could harbor in the air for 2 hours after the person leaves, think how many people might be in the waiting area of an airport waiting to board a plane.
Right. Or the plane itself with, recycled air. I mean, you're
on
sitting
the plane
there.
Itself,
yeah.
If one individual is sick. Plus, there are very large numbers of countries around the world where there are high rates of measles. So one important point that I would make to people is, please, if you're going to be doing some international travel, please make sure that the members of your group are properly vaccinated. And CDC recommends being fully vaccinated at least 2 weeks before you travel so that you have time to build the immune response before going. Infants 6 to 11 months of age are of particular risk because typically doses of measles vaccine are given after age 1 year.
Okay.
And children's immunity from their mom wanes by about 6 months. So if you're traveling with an infant in that 6 to 11 month age group, it's important to go speak to the pediatrician. And often an additional early dose can be given to that baby at least 2 weeks before travel, so that the baby has some protection, and then they can resume their normal vaccine series.
All right, I have two questions actually to follow up on that. Actually, my first one is this the kind of thing that spreads more easily in warm weather? Now, obviously, listen, hold on, and I don't want to be you know, scaring people. We have three cases. You know, it's news because we shouldn't have any, but it's not something that anyone should be concerned about, and I don't want to make it sound like you should be. However, just asking, is it the kind of thing that's a little bit more widespread during warmer weather months? I mean, you said June, August for two of the patients. I know you mentioned the little boy in December, but he had traveled internationally. Right. That might have been to a different hemisphere where it was warm or just a different climate. Is it weather dependent? Is it more prominent during warmer months?
Honestly, John, I haven't heard that it's a seasonal thing.
Okay.
So, you know, the key really seems to be the international travel, whether that's because people spend time in crowded airports and together with others that they don't know on planes, or because they visit countries where the rates of measles are much higher than they are here in the United States.
Okay.
So I don't think it's that, but I do think that, you know, many people travel during the summer season. Right, particularly families with children travel during the summer season
or the holiday
season.
So there's
a lot of movement in the summer, and that may be why we're seeing cases in the summer.
All right, now what exactly, like, how dangerous is measles? And that might sound like a silly question, but, like, you know, I was born in 1987. I grew up in the 90s. Like, mm-hmm. It wasn't a thing. You know, like, I didn't grow up with it. I grew up knowing that it was an old disease that people don't get anymore. So
right.
is it just a flu with a rash and then you get over it and you're going to be fine? Mm-hmm. Or can it get more severe than that?
It definitely can become more severe. So things to keep in mind is, unlike influenza virus, we don't have an antiviral to treat the measles directly. So if people acquire the measles, we're usually looking at treatment that consists of providing fluids, rest, and symptom relievers. But the greater concern is that there can be complications of the measles. Bacterial pneumonia and ear infections are particularly common complications of this virus, but rarely it can cause a deadly form of encephalitis.
So this does
have the potential to be a much more severe thing.
That's swelling of the brain, right? That's
correct.
Brain swelling. Yeah. Okay.
Correct.
That's intense.
Yeah. So, you know, if someone is exposed, it's recommended that they be monitored for 21 days. So there's a long incubation period here. That's important, right? If there's a potential exposure, 21 days is a long time to have to monitor someone. Symptoms can be things like fever, cough, the rash. And one of the key things about the rash is that it usually begins on the face and it spreads downward on the body. And there are these things called coplic spots that are these kind of bluish gray spots that form inside the mouth. And those are very specific for the measles. So for clinicians, if you see those bluish gray spots in the mouth in somebody with an exposure history, particularly an international travel history in the last 21 days, you definitely should give some thought to whether this could be measles. The rash typically is not very itchy either. So those are things to look out for. If individuals think that they may have the measles, an important thing to point out is please call your doctor before you visit the office, because they may need to do some things like come down to your car and provide you a mask to put on before coming into the office. We wouldn't want somebody with an active case of measles to walk into a crowded doctor's waiting room. Sure. So, you know, if you're concerned that you may have been exposed, please call first.
Can you talk to me, you know, but before I let you go, and seriously, thank you so much for all of this information, because I do think that a lot of people are in the situation that I described before, where we didn't really grow up with it. We didn't really know what this thing is. And some people might, you know, be more scared of it than they need to. Some people, it seems like a lot of people, might be severely underestimating the potential severity of it. For those who are vaccine hesitant, and let's ignore the wide spectrum of vaccines that people debate at this point. Let's keep it directly to measles. For those who are vaccine hesitant, even about something as tried and true as the measles, what do you say just about the efficacy and the safety of the vaccine?
You know, this is a vaccine that's been used for many, many years. It's safe. It's highly effective, 97% effective with two doses of vaccine. And that's two doses of vaccine in your life, right? This isn't like a flu shot where you have to go back every single year and get a new dose. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's for the most part, two doses and done. And, you know, I think that we're talking about something that's deadly. You know, keeping in mind that we had two deaths this week in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and both of those occurred in unvaccinated individuals.
I did not know that. Thank you for telling me that.
Yes,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Just this week. It was announced yesterday. I heard it for the first time.
Wow.
You know, so this is an illness that has potential for death. And we have no specific antiviral treatment to combat it. So for both of those reasons, I would say to people, you know, this is a time where vaccine is critically important.
Well, absolutely. And thank you for giving us critical information about it. Dr. Joanne Passalacqua, infectious disease specialist at Hartford Healthcare. Thank you once again for joining. I always enjoy our chats.
Thank you, John. Have a great day.
Oh, thank you. You too. You're listening to The Download on The Voice Connecticut, WICC.